This is Shoshana. I'm here with Patrick Race.
Hello, Shoshana.
Hello, Patrick.
Yeah.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm having a really good day.
Okay. That is excellent. So you are the organizer for this fine event?
Yeah, me and a lot of other people. Primarily, I'd say myself and Aaron Searing. He's my business partner and good friend and former roommate. We've done a lot of projects together, and this is just another one of our fun projects that we've put together. And we've had a lot of help from Marion Call and Jamie Karnick, and there's just kind of a lot of local people have really gotten behind this event to make it happen.
Okay. So what kind of inspired you guys to organize this mini con?
I think it just grew organically. We've hosted a lot of people here over the years. Our business model is less model-y, and so we decided that instead of spending money on advertising early on, we would spend money on bringing incredible people to Juneau, because it's nice to have that experience, and it's nice to share people's talents and thoughts and skills. And so we brought in artists like Kazoo, and Scott McCloud came through on his 50 state tour, and things like that that we kind of contributed effort to. And so over the years, a lot of the folks who are guests today at this mini convention came here as individuals just to do workshops or smaller events. And so I guess over the course of 7 to 10 years, a lot of these people have been to town as individuals. And last year Kazoo came up and we were talking, and he said, "Why don't you guys have a convention here?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. We've been thinking about it for a while." And he's like, "You should do that." And so so we organized this, and it was. We just leaned really on the people who have been here before and a few people who haven't. So as far as the people who are exhibiting and who are our featured guests, it's mostly people who have been to Juneau before. The people who haven't been here are Raina and Ryan North. And let's see, who else? I think that might be it. I know Kate's come through. Yeah. So it's a lot of these folks have come to visit us before. That makes it easier.
Okay. So you already kind of knew them a bit. And...
Yeah, yeah. And so we go out and exhibit too. So Aaron and I go out and we exhibit at San Diego Comic-Con and Emerald City. And so we meet a lot of people there, and one of our common things is like, "Oh, hey, do you want to come up to Juneau sometime and do a thing?" and so, yeah.
See the great Alaska.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a beautiful city, and so that's certainly a draw. And so people want to come up here, and we try and make it a little bit of a working vacation. I think a lot of these artists are we're very like-minded. It's hard for me to just go on a vacation unless I have a purpose, and that's why I love going to conventions, actually. Like, I love going to San Diego Comic-Con because I go and take a beach day when I'm down there, but I don't think that I would just go to San Diego to do nothing. It's nice to have a working a reason to go for work and a reason to do something that's fun. And so that's kind of what these conventions are. It's a chance to, I don't know, get out and see each other, gather. It's a convening, I guess, in a way, right?
Much like the word convention implies.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's quite a few volunteers and staff running around in blue shirts. Do you know about how many there are?
How many shirts?
Yes. Or how many people running around in the shirts?
I don't know, actually. Off the top of my head, I think we've probably got a dozen volunteers on site, and then kind of more just keep popping up. A lot of people who are coming to our artist camp have been jumping in and rolling up their sleeves, which has been, I mean, I'm really grateful for all their support. And I think everyone, this is the kind of event where everyone is contributing. No one's here to be chauffeured around, and yeah, everyone's rolling up their sleeves and doing their part. You know, when we did the event last night, everyone was helping with tech support, and it was just, everyone's doing a little piece of the convention and making it work. And so that makes it a lot less heavy lifting. I think from the outside, it maybe looks like I've organized this thing, but it's really just curating the right group of people who are going to do cool stuff on their own.
Okay. So how did the artist camp come about, speaking of the artist camp? I know that's a big part of this whole thing.
Well, that was actually the primary thing. It's like, let's get a bunch of our artist friends together and go and hang out in the woods and eat salmon. And so, hey, you want to come on in?
Oh,
no problem.
I didn't know you were doing anything.
Oh, it's okay.
I need to get my bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
go for it. Yeah.
Is
that one?
No. There's one over here.
Is
this it?
Your computer there?
Say
that.
Hi.
Let's
Okay.
Hey.
See, Kate. Did you want to meet her? I should have introduced you.
Oh, no, I met her at her table earlier.
Okay, cool.
That was Kate Beaton, folks.
Is this like a podcast then? I don't even know what I'm doing.
Oh.
Like, is this
We're going to post the audio on
Do you edit it,
website.
Or is it just like straight up we're talking like two people talk?
We're just talking like two people talk.
Oh, okay.
So, it's fine. I did an interview with John Klassen earlier, and the door was open then, and suddenly Seth Boyer was yelling something, and it was, you know, nice little interruption there.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah, as you do, yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have any more questions? It's just been really, like, the artist camp, I guess, is what we're talking about. We were, the artist camp was kind of what we wanted to do. And so I felt guilty about bringing all these amazing people here and not doing something for the community, because I have friends who would murder me if I brought, you know, people like Kate Beaton and Kazoo and Raina to town and they didn't have a chance to meet them or talk to them or get books signed. And so I think doing just an artist retreat was never an option. So we were like, okay, well, we need to do kind of a community thing, and then we need to do this artist retreat. And
okay, so the convention grew out of the retreat rather than the other way around.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's why it's a mini convention. It's kind of like the, and from exhibiting, we wanted to like turn that upside down, because we go out to conventions like Emerald City or San Diego, and we are working all the time, and we get to spend a couple hours in the evening with our friends. And what we wanted to do is be hanging out with our friends all the time and then spend a couple hours working. And
okay.
The idea is, I mean, it's obviously as an organizer, it's been a lot more work than that. But I think that for everyone here, they're doing a little bit of lifting, and then we get to go hang out in the woods and have an artist retreat and do some workshops for each other. And so, so I think it's, you think you get more people time that way.
Okay.
Yeah. And or peer time. Yeah.
And there's, I believe from your website, it said that there were 20 spaces for applicants at the retreat?
I think it was maybe 30, actually,
30?
In the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we've got a bunch of volunteer staff and things like that, a lot of local people who are really leaning on, and local artists who are good friends of ours that we just want to be there.
Okay.
So it's going to have, you know, we're bringing in some great people from out of town, and then we have a good contingent of local working artists, and I think we're all going to learn a lot from each other and have fun.
Okay.
And eat some smoked salmon.
Yeah, sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. You guys are leaving tonight?
Yeah, we're going to get on a bus and drive out to this campground tonight. I'm very excited about it.
Cool.
Are you in town very long? You're welcome to come out and check it out if you want.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to be in town until tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yep. All right. Work schedule.
Yeah. Well, if you've got you have a rental car while you're here?
Nope.
Okay. You'd get stuck out there. You could come with us, but then you'd never come back. That's just you'd have to come back on Tuesday.
The cab fare would probably be expensive.
The cab fare would be outrageous.
Yeah. And I think my boss wants to see me on Tuesday
for
like work or something. I don't know. Speaking of my boss, I work in a comic shop in Anchorage, and one of
is it Bosco's?
Is Bosco's.
I went to Bosco's a lot when I was a kid. And
okay.
I still go there a lot, but Bosco's was a place that when we travel up from Juneau to Anchorage for soccer trips, always made a point of stopping in there, because we didn't ever really have a real comic shop here growing up.
Okay.
Which is something I fixed. We now have a comic shop, but it was always a kind of a special treat to go and go see a real comic shop.
Yeah. Well, they just moved into a larger location last year.
I heard.
Year,
I haven't been there yet. So I'm actually going to be in Anchorage next week, and I hope to swing by.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I will be there when you do.
Perfect. That'd be great.
But when I've mentioned we have like a display, or we had a display up when I last was there, featuring a lot of the artists here because they were coming up to Alaska.
I saw you tweeted about it. It was a great display. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, my boss was just kind of like, hey, do you want to do a mini-con display? Here's a list. I was like, of course I do.
That's great. It's a good group of people to put in a display.
Yeah, so the most common question that I've got from people when I've told them about mini-con, other than, oh my gosh, insert name of creator here is coming to Alaska.
Right.
Like, am I dreaming? Is, why Juno?
What do you mean, why Juno?
That's the exact words people have been asking, just like, why Juno?
Why not? I don't know. I mean, because I don't know. Why would I plan something somewhere else?
that's kind of the answer I expected. Yeah,
this is where I live. I'm inviting people to my home. I don't know. I think that it makes a lot of sense for someone who is born here and lives here to have an event here.
Yeah, and if you're gonna have like comic convention, why not?
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason that... I mean, Anchorage has tons of conventions,
yeah,
right? I mean...
Yeah, I know, exactly. But, you know, people in Anchorage are often very Anchorage-centric.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of center periphery that happens in Anchorage.
Yeah, I live in kind of a suburb of Anchorage, and I still have friends who told me that they had thought that where I lived was part of the valley, not part of Anchorage. And it's just like, well, technically we're still like in the municipality and have the same mayor.
Yeah, but a lot of Anchorage people think Eagle River is like is the valley. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's 100 miles away instead of 20 minutes. But
yeah, that's a really interesting thing you said about Anchorage, because it is. I noticed that there's a lot of... It is very Anchorage-centric, and it's because it's by far the largest population center in Alaska. And so you get this... it's kind of like a gravity well of... there's so much going on in Anchorage that you don't see outside of that sometimes. And so I've had experiences where, like, someone wanted to do we're doing a statewide film festival, and so you get to do one in Juneau as part of our thing. I'm like, I already do a film festival. I don't, like... I don't know, like, why you're bringing culture to the heathens. It's like, we got our own thing going on.
Yeah.
And if you'd paid attention, you would have known that.
Yeah, I think one of Marion's songs has the line, Lost Anchorage.
Yeah.
Or, not the line, the phrase Lost Anchorage in there to describe it.
The thing that's really ironic about it is that so many people in Anchorage get, like, up in arms about the federal government, like, telling them what to do. And they're exactly the same way on the state scale. It's like Anchorage gets to dictate policy for everyone else, and...
Yeah,
it's really funny to see that.
Yeah, this has gotten a lot more political than I expected.
I'm a political guy. I do political satire. I follow politics. It's actually been a little itchy for me lately because I've been doing so much of this convention stuff that I haven't been able to pay attention to the legislative overtime that's happening, and I feel like I'm getting behind on the I don't know, my soap opera that I watch.
Oh, Alaska legislature.
Yeah. Sigh.
Yeah.
Hey, you're from Eagle River. You should write your senator and representative and tell them to pass a responsible fiscal plan.
Okay, as long as I don't have to write our assembly person.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, right. Okay.
Moving on. So, Alaska Robotics seems to do quite a variety of things, you know, from comics to videos to amazing new interpretations of David Bowie songs to comic conventions now. How would you describe Alaska Robotics to someone who is wondering what Alaska, what robots in Alaska has to do with any of these things?
Well, it's like a label, right? So, Apple doesn't sell apples, like fruit. They don't sell fruit. So we don't sell robots. I don't know. That's actually one of our most common questions. I asked Dawson to come up with an answer for it one time. We were at a convention, and every third person who came by is like, "Where are the robots?"
It's us. We're the robots.
Yeah, we are. But I think the idea behind it, so both Aaron and I have computer science backgrounds, and we kind of like our projects are kind of like building little. It's like tinkering a little bit. We do all these little weird odd projects, and so it's kind of like a robotics thing in a way. We're like kind of programming. So we programmed this convention, and it became its own thing, and now it's stomping around on its own. And I could probably lie down on this floor and go to sleep for 4 hours, and it would still happen, and probably some things would go wrong because I wasn't there to fix them, but it's kind of its own thing now.
Oh, Okay.
Yeah.
So.
So we built this robot. Here it is, Alaska Robotics.
Killer robot. So, like, how would you describe what falls under the umbrella of Alaska Robotics?
How would I describe it? Eclectic.
Eclectic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just kind of a big mix of a lot of things.
I would describe it as mainly my interests. It's like just whatever weird butterfly I'm chasing that day. It's like, oh, that's not Alaska Robotics now. It's part of my collection.
Yes. Build a robot, send it off into the wild.
Yeah.
And then build another one.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Well, I think I can skip the have you ever been to Alaska before question.
I have been to Alaska many times.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Often when I'm returning from other places.
That's a good time. So our website is mostly Star Wars focused. So here is the Star Wars question.
All right.
It's a spelling question. How do you spell Mithran Ruodo Go? Just kidding. Just no.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't have to spell it or I do?
Well, you can if you want to, okay. But that's not actually the question.
Okay.
But, you know, the idea of a Star Wars question, where there's a lot of kind of bizarrely spelled things.
I'm not good at spelling or dates, but if you give me some Star Wars trivia, I might be able to answer it.
Well, you know, it's not trivia either, unless so you have like a, to trivia.
You focus on Star Wars stuff?
Thus the name Tashi Station.
Yes, of course. So, what, like, do you want me to tie this into Star Wars somehow? Or
you can if you would like.
Oh, I don't know if I can. Oh, I can. Okay. So there's actually some incredible Star Wars artwork here that is Rico Worrell owns Trickster Company, and he's a Tlinkit artist, and he did like kind of a reimagined version of the Star Wars poster using Tlinkit designs.
Oh, I saw
that. It's like got totem carvings and formline stuff. Formline design on it.
Yeah, and like a Tlinkit design of Ewok and lightsabers.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. This Tlinkit Ewok thing is amazing. It's great. I think actually his sister might have done the Ewok, but it's the poster is outstanding, and they have a bunch of that kind of where they've kind of reappropriated pop culture.
Yeah.
It's really clever and it's progressive, and I like that it's carrying the like Tlinkit art form forward and making it you know it's alive, it's today, it's happening right now, it's not some ancient thing.
Yes, it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so to a little bit less deep.
Yeah,
I want to say of a Star Wars question.
Okay.
Or maybe more deep.
Okay.
It is up to you. Is there a Star Wars movie or character or alien species that is closest to your heart?
Movie or character or alien... Okay, so first movie is Empire Strikes Back is my favorite one, and that's because of Hoth, of course, which is... I think Alaskans are quite fond of Empire Strikes Back because of the ice planet. And then character... gosh, that's a tough one. I actually loved a lot of the new characters in the new film. In The Force Awakens, I think that they did a great job of kind of breathing life into what could have been really old tropes. I don't have a favorite character. I like the universe itself. I like that the characters are people and they aren't just paper cutouts of people, that they feel like real three-dimensional human beings or Wookiees or whatever, you know,
sentient beings.
Yeah sentient beings. Okay, and then favorite species is probably whatever Silicious Crumb is. I forgot, what is he, do you know? I just want to
For some reason, I want to say Kowalkian monkey lizard, but I'm not sure that's actually what he is, or just a really good insult.
I just want to take my worst enemies and put them on that planet, like full of Silicious Crumbs. like here, you guys, you can all hang out here and be dicks to each other.
That would be wow. Yeah. Oh goodness.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that Silicious Crumb came from a planet full of Silicious Crumb creatures, right? So somewhere. There's an awful, awful planet that no one wants to go to.
Except for maybe Hutts.
I feel like they're a little more... Yeah, I don't know. Do you think there's a planet full of Hutts?
Yeah. Or that, you know, they have to come from somewhere.
I guess so.
Feel like in the books kinda... previously, before the recent purging of the EU that was...
Oh, yeah.
They were from Nar Shadda, and you'd have books with many different huts in them.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Including one that wore amazing hats, or fancied himself a knight. That was an interesting hut.
And I've learned something today.
Yes.
I didn't get way deep into the extended universe, but I did read a lot of the, like I think I read some of the Timothy Zahn stuff and the, who's the other guy? Robert something? Or A. There's a guy with an
Kevin
A.
J. Anderson.
Yeah, Kevin J. Anderson. I read a bunch of his books. And that was mostly in high school, so it's been a while.
Or Michael A. Stackpole.
But I really, no, it was Anderson for okay. sure. And I really liked the, he did some short ones that were like stories. Maybe this wasn't him, but I think he did the short ones that was like the Bounty Hunters and things like that. Was that his series?
There was the collections of short stories.
Yeah, there's a great one that was all Bounty Hunter short stories. I love that one.
I think he might have edited that one.
Yeah, where IG-88 becomes like a sentient, like Skynet kind of thing. Yeah, it was fun. But I know that's all just imaginary and not part of the real universe anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah. But you know, the new books that are coming out, you know, in the real universe. You know, they're pretty good, too.
I haven't read any of the new books. I've read some of the comics. The comics have been interesting. Like, I wouldn't say they're great, but they are... but I feel like they're trying some new things.
Yeah. It's... They've got, like, a variety, and it's kind of nice that they're doing a bunch of short little... Yeah.
I feel like they're finding their voice, and it's probably better that they're not doing some giant long thing right now, that they're kind of approaching short stories and testing the water a little bit.
Well, they do have two, like, ongoing series, but for the most part, it really is just... little miniseries.
Yeah. So I read the Chewbacca one, and I read the Darth Vader, two issues of the Darth Vader one, and the, I don't think I've read the Leia one, and I did flip through the, Lando.
Okay.
Yeah. Lando was interesting. Like, I don't know if that's the direction I would have gone, but I liked some of the story elements that they had there. I thought it was good how he, well, I shouldn't spoil it probably, but probably everyone who's listening to this knows way more about Star Wars than I do, so. I don't know if I can. But they might not have read that book.
Have read it yet.
All right, I won't talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, the Chewbacca one, I think they did some really interesting things there, too.
They did a good job of...
storytelling.
Yeah, the storytelling thing that I really liked there was that they gave him, like, kind of a young human companion, so that... Because if you just have Chewbacca as the star, he's, like, just growling the whole time. But it gave a way to... it allowed them to do some exposition a little bit and to help tell the story. But I think I would like to see some really, really good storyteller do just a Chewbacca story that just doesn't have any words in it. It's just Chewbacca doing his stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, the humans still didn't understand anything Chewbacca was saying, which I thought was pretty cool.
But it still has to lean on the humans. Like, I'd love to see just a Chewbacca story. Of like, what's Chewbacca do when he's alone?
Just totally silent comic.
Yeah, totally. Or maybe some little, like, you know... Yes. However you spell that. I think a lot of R's, mostly.
Some W's, you know.
That's my one thing that I like. I like making Wookiee noises.
Oh, the Wookiees.
Good planet, except for in the holiday special. Then it's an awkward planet.
It's so awkward.
Yeah. So Grandpa, awkward. What are you watching?
Yes. But there are trees in the holiday special, so at least there's that. They live in trees, and there is more than one Wookiee.
I should probably get back to the convention and make sure nothing's burning down, but I think it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, do you
have a last question you want to hit me on? Or?
Quickly, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, alaskarobotics.com. I know the answer to that question.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any social media accounts or anything either?
At Alaska Robotics. I mean, Alaska Robotics. That's where I am.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice meeting you.